trash, garbage, rubbish. Maybe you've seen some this week in your kitchen overflowing. That's what happens in my house. Nobody ever empties the trash can. It just overflows. They got to take it out. Maybe you've seen some this week. Maybe you've seen something that you want to remove from your life because you're looking at it and you're like, that is trash. Maybe somebody said something to you and you know it's garbage and you just want to remove that from your life. Maybe somebody said something to you, somebody's mentioned something, and you just said to yourself, wow, that is rubbish. We continue on in our series, this week two of our series on rubbish, and how some of the things that we see in our life compared to our relationship with Christ are rubbish. And Paul, the Apostle Paul, talks about this a lot in the scripture that we are using to see this in Philippians, especially in Philippians chapter 3, verse 8, where he says, I consider everything I've ever gained or everything I have ever attained and compare it as rubbish compared to Christ Jesus. When we get there, we'll do a big deep dive into that word. My name is Pastor Keith Halcombe. I'm your lead pastor here, and I just think about prayer and my first prayer that I ever did in my first job at Palmacia. When I first went down to my job, I was working here as a youth director, as a middle school youth director, and I finally got a position in Palmacia. And my first week there, the strangest thing happened. Now, maybe you think, you know, prayer's kind of outdated. Maybe you pray in the morning, maybe you pray in the evening, whenever it is before you go to bed. Maybe you pray over your kids at night. But whatever you pray, sometimes you might think that prayer's kind of outdated and life goes on quite well here without you needing to pray. And the only time you really pray is when your mother told you to, which is before your meal. Amen? Yeah, yeah. And then also, you know, maybe when things go wrong. Well, the first prayer I ever did, the first prayer I ever did as a new pastor, I thought was rubbish. The business manager came to talk to me in this new church I was at, and the lead pastor was out. He was out of office doing something. I don't know what he was doing. I don't know what lead pastors do anyway, but he was out, and the business manager came up to me and said to me, Keith, Linda's here, and she's on the way to the vet to put her pet down. Would you pray for her pet and give him his last rites? I was like, sure, never done that before, but yeah. And she, without me even saying anything, without me saying comment or anything, in walks Linda, and Linda is distraught, and she's like, oh, I can't believe it. I can't believe it. He's dying. I can't believe he's dying. I'm so sad. She walks, come in, sit down. She sits down, and she's crying so hard. And on her shoulder is a pet ferret. And a ferret is breathing on her shoulder, kind of thing like this. And she walks in my office and sits down, and she says, would you pray for my pet? And she puts the pet on her lap like that, and you know, he's breathing like, okay. And she says, would you pray for him and say the 23rd Psalm? Yeah, sure. I'd never done that before, and I was my friend, my good friend Carl was here at Palm Harbor, and I thought like he'd rigged up the room with videos kind of thing. I was looking around looking for cameras, and there was nothing there. And I looked around on my shelf. I was in seminary at the time, so I looked around on my shelf looking for books that say praying for dying pets. Nothing there. She said, would you just pray this Oreo, the ferret, has been with me all the way through my three funerals that I've been to up in Virginia. Would you pray for him? Oh, great. The pet's now got a name. The name's Oreo. I can't believe it. Okay. Yeah, sure. Just say the 23rd. The Lord's my shepherd. I shall not want. He leads me in green path. And we say the 23rd Psalm together. And then she said, would you pray for him? Yeah, sure. So I say, dear God, thank you for Oreo, and thank you for the comfort he's provided for Linda. And as I'm praying, you know, fuffling through the prayer, Oreos on the lap, and and it dies right in front of me during my prayer. And she puts, oh no, he's dead. He's dead. I can't believe it. I can't believe he's dead. And she says, she gives me the pet. She gives me Oreo, the ferret, and says, would you anoint him? I'm like, sure. I do this every week. You know, somebody got me some oil and I anointed him in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. So I'm like, I don't know. And she walked off. And Dave Baldridge, who was the lead pastor here at the time, heard what had happened, and he stopped me in the parking lot. I was here picking up kids or something, and he stopped me in the parking lot, and he said, hey, Keith, heard you got a killer prayer. Funny guy. Worst prayer ever. Your prayers are rubbish, Keith. I had the messages in the back of my head, right? Your prayers stink. How many of you have been prayed for? Someone's prayed for you. Somebody's prayed for your healing. Someone's prayed for the presence of God to be in your life. A dear friend, someone you love, and you have felt the presence of God. Raise your hand. You have felt loved, comforted. You have felt the Holy Spirit move in your life. Yeah, and you felt God. Raise your hand if you felt God in your life. Someone's prayed. Good, good. So prayer is not rubbish. Amen? Just make sure of it. Turn to your friend, turn to someone next to you and say, prayer is not rubbish. Tell your wife, Daryl. That's it. Good. Tell you guys too, and you tell them. You tell them. Yeah. Prayer is not rubbish. Paul, the Apostle Paul, believed this too. The Apostle Paul was the one responsible for communicating the gospel in and around this place called Philippi, whom this letter was written to. Written to the Philippians. And Paul is locked in jail in a prison in Rome, and he is communicating to the Philippians. Now, if I was locked in a prison in Rome and I was locked up for communicating the gospel, I would not, the first thing out of my mouth, the first thing in the pen would be, get me out of here! But no, he decides to pray for the Philippians. He writes that he's praying. So that's where we are. We're in Philippians chapter 1. That's where we're reading from today, and that's our text for today. You can go there. If you're online, just open up another tab. If you have your Bible with you, one of these ones, open it to chapter 1, Philippians chapter 1, and we're going to start reading from verse 3. So this is Paul writing to his friends, brothers and sisters in Philippi. And he says, every time I think of you, I give thanks to my God. Whenever I pray, I make my requests for all of you with joy, for you have been my partners in spreading the good news about Christ from the time you first heard it until now. And I am certain that God, who began this good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. So I want you to imagine you're sitting in Philippi, you're wondering about your leader who's locked up in Rome, and you're wondering about the communication he's going to send to you. You haven't seen another version of this letter, and it hasn't been taken a picture of, nobody's tweeted it or shared it on social media, but you get it. And somebody reads it from the pulpit, and this is the first thing you read. Every time I think of you, I give thanks to my God. Whenever I pray, I make my requests for you with joy. Imagine if you read that for the first time. You're like, wow, Paul is thinking of us. He's thinking of us and praying for us in our time of need. And he's got some reasons why he is praying. He's praying because he knows these people real well. He had an impact in their life 10 years ago. And he's praying for them because they're partners in the good news. And you've been my partners all the way since the first time you decided to follow Jesus. And I'm so thankful for you. And I remember you with joy from the time you first heard it until now. And I'm certain that God became a good work, began a good work in you, will continue that on. When we make a decision to follow Christ, when we make a decision to ask Christ to come into our heart and change it and for it to be molded into the likeness of God, it doesn't just stop right there. And Paul knows this. He says, I pray it will continue to go on in your life. Yes, there's a time when just divine grace, it takes over our lives, that we realize there's a moment in our lives when we open the door and say, yes, I want to do that. But after that moment, we have what's called sanctifying grace, a continual grace, a grace that keeps going on and on. And Paul says, I am confident that what began in you will continue. And I don't know everybody's stories. I don't know when everybody first decided to follow Christ. I don't know when you were a child or whether it was just recently. But I know that God will continue this work in you from now until the next day and the next and the week after. Amen? And we want that to continue. And Paul wants us to go on for them. He says, I believe it's kind of a prayer and telling them at the same time. He's kind of cheeky. He's like, I believe that it's going to continue to go on. He's like encouraging them and telling them that's the kind of thing they should be looking for. So this is kind of his prayer until Christ Jesus returns. So that's the opening gambit for how Paul is praying. He believes in prayer. He believes it's not trash or rubbish. Then he goes on to say in verse 7, he says, so it is right that I should feel as I do all about you, about all of you, for you have a special place in my heart. You share with me the special favor of God, both in my imprisonment and in defending and confirming the truths of the good news. God knows how much I love you and long for you with the tender compassion of Christ Jesus. Paul feels for these people. He loves these people. Paul's a good Jew, and he probably is praying in the morning, praying at lunchtime, praying in the evening. The Psalms say pray 7 times a day, and Paul would have been really into doing that. He was a good Jew. He probably also, later on in Thessalonians, he says, pray continually. How many of you pray continually? Like every breath is that you're doing, everything that you're doing, every thought is being held to captivity. That everything that you're thinking is about praying to God. Paul probably did this, especially when he was locked up. But at this particular moment, he's praying specifically for people. He's praying specifically for these Philippians. And maybe he sees something that reminds him of specific people. That's what happens in my life. If I'm in the hospital, if I'm visiting a hospital, I pray for my wife, Julie, because she works in a hospital. If I see a law firm, a commercial, or something about law, I'll think and pray for my daughter, Jordan. If I see a hotel or a commercial for a hotel, I'll pray for my son who works in the hotel. If I see a guitar, I pray for Max and how amazed I am at his music that he makes. If I see something, art or graphic design, I'll pray for my son, David. Maybe that's the same for you. Maybe there's somebody special and close to you, and you see something and it triggers off something that helps you to pray for them. And that's what Paul's doing here. He's praying his regular prayers. He's praying his rote prayers. He's praying continually. But he's also praying specifically because these people are important to him. Maybe you have somebody important to you that you are praying for continually. Maybe there's somebody that you wish today was sitting next to you right here, who was with you participating in bringing in the kingdom of God into Palm Harbor. Pray for them. Pray for them. They share a special place in our hearts. And there was two reasons as well. On top of that, there was two major reasons he was praying for them. First of all, they were partners in the gospel. They were transmitting the gospel in and around their area in the 10 years since he had been with them.
But also, they were supporting Paul. And you remember last week, if you haven't seen that, go back online and watch it. Paul was really thankful to the support he was receiving in Philippi, to the financial support and indeed the physical support he was getting whilst he was in jail. And so he says that God knows how much I long for you. This is his major prayer. God knows how much I long for you with the tender to have the tender compassion of Christ Jesus. And both Rome and the people he is with in and around Philippi are hostile to these two things. They don't want Paul to be taken care of, and they don't want the gospel to spread. So people are hostile to this happening. But what should we pray? What should we pray when we're praying for people? How should we pray? We want good for other people. This is probably the main content when we're asking to pray for people. We do these things so that people would know Christ and his compassion and the gentleness of our Lord and Savior. But what should be in the content? Some of you might have heard this before, but a very helpful acronym, ACTS, helps us to understand what kind of prayer what should be in our prayer. First off, I'm going to put them up on the screen for you. The first one is the letter A, and it's for adoration. Yeah, we're a little hastened to do this. God, you are God. You are God above all gods. You are Christ the King. You are God over the whole universe, God of the whole cosmic world that we are. Great is your name. We sing these things. Sometimes we don't pray them. So the first one is adoration. The second one is confession. Both confession to God and confession to God. God, I'm not on the right path. I shouldn't have done this. I shouldn't have said this. And that can partner real nice with confessing to somebody else that you have upset. So adoration and confession are the first two things that should be in the content of our prayer. Thirdly is thanksgiving, the letter T, thanksgiving. We're normally pretty good at this. Thank you, God, for providing for my life. Thank you for my family. Thank you for the things around me that encourage me to live the kind of life that you want me to. And then finally, supplication, which is a big word that means just giving everything we have to God, giving the needs of our sister, brother, giving the needs of our mother and father, giving the needs we have in our family of health. And typically, yeah, go ahead and take a picture of that if you want to, but typically, we're pretty good at T and S. Yeah, we're pretty good at thanking God. We're pretty good at giving things over to God, right? We normally have a hard time with adoration and confession. But these things are really helpful for the content of our prayer and how we pray for others. We want better for others. We want them to experience the transforming power of Christ in their head and their heart. Amen? You want that to happen for people. In fact, Christ goes all the way over the other side and says, I also want you to pray for your enemies. Ah, I wish he hadn't have said that. I normally have a good time just like holding on to all the hate I have for my enemies. Jesus says, pray for your enemies. In fact, if we pray for our enemies, we want their lives to get better. In fact, if their lives get better, then our life is going to get better. So it's kind of a selfish prayer in the end. But we have to pray for others' health, others' well-being, and that they would experience this through the compassion of Christ Jesus. And that's Paul's main thing and a good model for us how we shape our prayers. So the last few verses he says, I pray, of course, all about praying. And in fact, in these few verses as well, you'll notice he says Christ Jesus like 8 times. So he's very specific about that too. I pray that your love will overflow more and more and that you will keep on growing in knowledge and understanding. For I want you to understand what really matters so that you may live pure and blameless lives until the day of Christ's return. May you always be filled with the fruit of your salvation, righteous character produced in your life by Christ Jesus, for this will bring much glory and praise to God.
So there you have it. He's praying that love will overflow in these people that he cares so much about, and that they'll keep on growing in knowledge and understanding. I don't think Paul means the kind of knowledge we get from all the apps on our phone. Yeah, we don't need any more apps, right? Yeah, I don't think he means like more news channels or more news agencies to fill our heads with more stuff. Do we really need 24-hour news? There's even like news about news now. Oh, this is what the news is about, that news. I don't think Paul is talking about this kind of knowledge. He's talking about the kind of knowledge that leads us to a place where we can experience the compassion of Christ in our prayers. And where do we get our fuel apart from ACTS? Where do we get our fuel for prayer? Well, first off, we get it from here, and we get it from the teachings of Christ. And maybe we need a refresher on what are the teachings of Christ, and maybe you need a refresher on what scripture to read. And Matthew chapter 5-7 is the main teachings of Christ. They're the key things, the Sermon on the Mount. Maybe you haven't read them in a while, or maybe you've never read them. This is how we follow Christ. These are the teachings of Christ, and these will help us in our prayers. As well as reading the scripture, of course, is being around other people that are praying for you. Being around other people who mentor you, people who care for you, who want to see Christ manifested in your life, who want to be around you and seeing you doing well. And finally, be around people who pray. Be around people who pray with you and pray for you. Because Paul says, I wanted to see it more and more, this grow, and the thing that really matters, which is that you would live blameless lives, pure and blameless lives, and that you'd be filled with the fruit of salvation. Of course, he goes on later when he's writing to the church in Galatia. He says that the fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. And we can just do another whole series, whole sermon about just those things in itself. But he says, I want to see that growing in you. That's what I'm praying for. I'm praying that this righteous character will be produced in your life, and it will bring much praise and glory to God. That's what I want to see. That's what I'm praying for. That's what I'd like to see in how I pray. I pray for you. And I want to see you flourish. I want to see your life flourish in Christ Jesus, and your life may abound more. Prayer is not rubbish. Linda left a message. You want to hear what happens? Linda left a message in the office, and she said, Keith, thank you for saving me $85 at the vet. But seriously, thank you so much for praying for me and caring for me. I was having a hard time with Oreo, and I didn't know how to handle it. God bless. See you Sunday. And sometimes we don't know the power of our prayers. Sometimes we don't know that we think we might have said a prayer that was glib or rubbish, or we might have said something that was trash or garbage. We think that. And actually, though, when we're talking to God and he is speaking to us and through us, somehow he uses us as vessels of his love. And whether you pray in the morning, whether you pray at lunchtime, whether you pray in the evening, there's even a prayer app now that'll let you know you should pray at 7 and 12 and 7. Whether you pray continually, whether you pray rote prayers in the morning, whether you pray these said prayers that you grew up with, pray. When you talk to God, when you speak to him, you realize that through everything that's going on in your life, you realize that prayer is not trash, that prayer is not garbage, prayer is not
rubbish. Prayer is how we communicate with God. And when you speak to God, you realize prayer is not rubbish. Amen? Let's pray together. Gracious and Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you have given us a way to commune with you directly. We thank you so much that you listen to this prayer. We thank you so much that you listen to our individual prayers. You listen to us saying prayers of others. And we pray, Lord God, that you would guide us in our prayers, that you would help us, Lord, to think of others the way Paul thought of others, to pray with joy. We ask this all in your precious and powerful name. And everybody said,